Today on For What Is Nerd, we are discussing Daredevil Born Again. The first two episodes dropped earlier this week, and with it, a lot of controversy, a lot of discussion, a lot of good things too, of course, as well. So let's get into it. But before we do, as always, let me just remind you guys, these are reviews that deal with the actual material of the stuff. We're not just doing non-spoiler reviews here, so sometimes there will be spoilers. And I think that's very important to say today, because one of the big topics we're going to discuss is a massive spoiler that happens in episode one. So if you haven't watched yet, or if you really mind spoilers, go away. Go away, basically. If you don't mind that, or you have watched it, that's fine. We are going to be discussing, of course, the main twist of episode one, which is Foggy Nelson's death. Foggy, obviously, is a big character from the Netflix show that has continued over, thankfully, through decision to change kind of what the show was going to be about as they kind of went through here, the kind of development process. They changed what they were doing. Now you can see that is still in there a little bit. The soft reboot now, as opposed to the full reboot, so to speak, it is clear. It changes after that first episode. It feels a lot more, you know, it feels different. It feels like you can see where the show kind of changed. You can see certain scenes are different, and the fact that they've kind of brought Karen and Foggy back, but then kind of moved them off slightly at the same time, at least for now, is evident. But do I think it's a bad idea to have killed off Foggy? No, I don't. And there's reasons for that. I think, sometimes you need to kill a character to develop another character. And I'm not saying that that always needs to be done at the expense of, like, a fan favorite, so to speak. You know, a lot of people liked Foggy. I get it. But I think, you know, media is so scared of killing off characters these days, and so scared of killing them off permanently. They always bring them back, you know, in one way or another. I mean, just the other week, you know, Gwen Stacy is one of the characters who is most famously dead in comics, like just dead, right? Just done. And now she's back as another version of Gwen. It's Gwenpool, and it's getting it's one of those things where just sometimes things need to stay done. You know, sometimes it's okay for there not to be a reboot, rehash, rechange, reanimation of someone, you know, especially because Daredevil has done it before with Elektra, and, you know, superheroes in general have done it so much in their given runs, etc. So do I think Foggy needed to die? No. Am I upset that Foggy died? In a way, yes, because I don't think that was what people had intended this show to be when they knew that the other cast were coming back. But do I think it gives us an opportunity to try something different and see a little bit of a different angle to the storyline? Yes, especially because there's been commentary that Foggy might return, or that this might be some kind of faked death, as has happened in the comics. And if that's kind of the faked death route as opposed to some kind of revival or something like that, that could be interesting depending on how they play it, depending on what they're trying to do there. So let's wait and see. I think a lot of people are waiting to see. I think a lot of people want to see how this show pans out. I think these first two episodes are hard to judge by because they both have the strings of what Daredevil was before, and they have this soft reboot kind of vibe through them. So I'm interested to see what these next episodes are like. But saying that, I do think that this show has a lot of shocking moments. I do think this show has the brutality that we've been kind of wanting and hoping to have in kind of the return of the Daredevil show, or the Daredevil brand, let's say. You know, one that I remember being particularly shocked at is when Hector Ayala throws that guy, and he falls in front of the train, and bam, gone. And, like, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's, like, grim dark. I think it's still, you can almost tell the show has been, how do I put this? You can tell the show has been Disneyfied to a degree. I think the fact that Matt Murdock now has this very clean office that he runs around in suits, it's got that very MCU typical effect on it, but it still has that lingering Daredevil Netflix feel in its world still. And I think that's the main point. I think as long as it has a little bit of what the core interest was initially, I think the rest can kind of fall in line, and you can kind of deal with it a little bit. And the fact is, Matt Murdock will have advanced in 7 years. He might have got a better office. He has, but, you know, that could have happened in real life. You know, people do, you know, further themselves as time furthers on. Some people want people to stay the same forever, and it doesn't work that way. Media doesn't work that way. Just because you think this character is how you had it in your memory doesn't mean that they always have to be the same. That's not how fiction works. That's not how real life works, and art imitates life and life imitates art, etc. So yeah, in my opinion, I think there's some things that the show is doing well. I think that the brutality is there. I think the character, the return to those characters and bringing back Vanessa, bringing back Karen and Foggy, and using them in a way that kind of does influence the story. Obviously, it's not how people had expected it initially, but they're there. Especially, I think it's interesting, the relationship between Fisk and Vanessa, and the fact that he'd kind of left her in a state, like she'd had to leave him so many times, and he's left her, and he, sort of willingly, in a sense, and she's strayed because of that. I think that's a very interesting story. I think because the thing what they've kind of done is they've given you a way to see Fisk as a defeated man who's trying to be better, but can't do anything about it. Because if you think about it, right, what does Fisk usually do to any problem? He brutalizes it, right? This is a problem that he can't overcome by brutalizing it. You know, he needs to discuss and find, he needs to you know, grow as a person as well. And so he's come back to Vanessa, and she's saying, look, you left me. And I think that's a really interesting storyline. I think it's nice to see a villain get their psyche dug into. And you know, that was something that Netflix show did quite well with Kingpin Wilson in the beginning. So I think seeing that kind of continue, and seeing him kind of say, I will do kind of anything to kind of save this marriage. He wants to, he doesn't want to lose the woman he's loved. I think is really interesting to see from a villain as well. So really, really cool angle, I think, for Fisk. Even though a lot of people, I think, aren't happy about it, I think they're kind of saying he's been defanged to a degree. I don't think that's true. I think he's playing under a guise, right? They're two, Matt and Kingpin are two sides of the same coin. They're both trying to pretend that they've moved on in their lives and that they don't need their alter egos, so to speak. But we both know that that will come to a head eventually, one way or another. You know, there's parts of the episode where Kingpin is still as ruthless, even though it's not with his fists, even though it's not with brute force. So I think you will see them develop back into their older or closer to their older personas as the season goes on. It's all about faces in this season, I think, like pretending that things are okay when they're not, and kind of hiding from the kind of the mask in a way that they used to use. So I think that's an interesting angle to go down. I think the way they've framed it, the fact that Kingpin is meh, I think is a really interesting, it kind of plays off, you know, it takes me back to the CW with Arrow and how, you know, Oliver in that universe became mayor. I didn't actually finish that season. I think that's where I stopped. But it's kind of like that very interesting, like, let's put these characters in a very different scenario and see how they react to it. And I think that kind of that's how it feels to me here. They've kind of done this kind of, they've wanted to reboot it, but they've wanted to do it in a way that kind of really impacts not just Kingpin and Daredevil, but New York, right? And so New York has changed for this. So is sort of the MCU in general, in a way as well. And I think that's what's going to be interesting as well. How does this factor into the MCU overall? Who else is suffering under Kingpin? Slash who else is kind of seeing what's going on? So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's a really interesting. I think what's also quite funny is a lot of people are saying, how would people believe that Kingpin would be a good leader if he's done bad things? And I think actually what this is maybe doing in a way that I don't think a lot of shows have done for a while regards the MCU is kind of commenting on something that's kind of now and current. And I don't know if it was pretty much intended, but it feels like it's a commentary on the current state of the US. And yeah, so I think that's maybe the most believable part of the show, as some people have kind of pointed out. So, you know, the corruption, the oppression, the use, gaming the system to gain power to heavy hand things into place. So we'll see how that plays out across the rest of the season. I think the new supporting characters and are not maybe as strong this time round, but I am interested to see where they go as well. Especially Kingpin's new little friend, I forget his name off the top of my head. It's also nice to see a kind of introduction of a new character that references back to an older character in Ben Urich as well, having his niece be part of the show. Like, not the actors, but the characters, is really cool in kind of seeing that they are trying very hard to get that, to push that feeling that this is part of the same, well, it is part of the same universe as the Netflix show. So, yeah, I think this show is going to, I think it's going to shape up quite well. Obviously, we've still got the Punisher to show up. We've still got, you know, a number of different things to kind of go through. We haven't even really seen Muse come into play yet. So there's a lot of villains about, there's a lot of things going on, there's a lot of stories and so on to continue, and we'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, let me know your thoughts on Daredevil Born Again, and I'll see you next time. Bye, guys.